tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
There is a concerted attempt now to pull the wool over your eyes about what's really going on in this country. You were told to expect 100 far-right protests last night that whipped up a huge amount of fear. One of the people whipping up some of that fear, arguably, was the director of Hard Left Hope Not Hate Group, who this morning tweeted, "Yes, this list, i.e. the list of locations that were expected to be attacked, this list was a hoax. But just look at the front pages of today's papers. An anti-racist message is being transmitted to millions of homes this morning." Well, he later went some way to retracting that tweet. But let's just have a look at those newspaper front pages and headlines, shall we? So I strongly suspect that the Daily Mail and the Daily Express came under huge commercial pressure here, don't you? Then this morning, out strolls our Met Police Chief, Mark Rowley, like the cat who got the cream.
It was a massive policing operation. I'm really pleased with how it went. And we put thousands of officers on the streets. And I think the show of force from the police and, frankly, the show of unity from communities together defeated the challenges that we've seen. And it went off very peacefully last night. A couple of locations, we had some local criminals turn out and try and create a bit of antisocial behaviour, and we arrested a few of them. But it was a very successful night, and the fears of sort of extreme right disorder were abated.
Right, firstly, we can't call what happened last night counter-protest, because there was nothing to protest about, was there? What was it? The ghost of the EDL, was it? Secondly, the country's top cop has just given the green light to people to come out in force on the street and mob up, in my view. We saw very hard-left radicals there. That's according to their flag that they've got. They were out in Brighton. There was a huge pro-Palestine presence. The same group of people who have been rampaging through towns and cities for months now, causing all sorts of problems. And then there was this.
Hey, huh? We've got children and women using those trains.
That is a now-suspended Labour councillor who has just been arrested on suspicion of encouraging murder. And there was this as well. There have been 10 arrests in Croydon, and we're told, look, hey, don't worry, that was nothing to do with any riots or protests. That was just antisocial behaviour. Yeah, all right. So, what happened last night appears to have been a massively exaggerated national threat that brought loads of people out onto the streets with these placards everywhere as well. You know, the same placards you see all the time, refugees welcome, all of that, refugees welcome. The establishment media then piles in behind it to make it look like the nation fought off the Nazis. And now we've got this going on, haven't we?
We have some breaking news now, and a woman has been arrested by Cheshire Police in relation to an inaccurate information on social media about the attacker in the Southport murders.
And today, Sir Keir Starmer feels that he can shamelessly ignore people's concerns about immigration and just crack on.
If we have indeed turned a corner and seen an end to the violence, is now the time to engage with the underlying tensions that are in communities over the issue of immigration?
The first priority is safety and security of our communities.
The term gaslighting is defined as being to manipulate people using psychological methods into questioning their own sanity or powers of reasoning. I think we might be being gaslit. What about you?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Hey, you live in a world of lies. Yeah, that's, you can call it what you want, but you're being gaslit. Being gaslit, and it's time to wake up. We'll go out to your phone calls right off the bat. On the other side, Jefferson in Virginia, Josiah in Kansas, Dave in Arizona. Stay tuned. More to come in today's episode of American Journal.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. high-quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Go directly out to your phone calls now. Yeah, I want to just focus on this UK thing because it's clearly the blueprint for the rest of us. I just want to read this from Keith Woods at Keith Woods YT on X. The pattern observed in the UK will be the course for any diverse American society. Random acts of migrant violence, social unrest from working class and lumpen whites in reaction to the destruction of their communities, then further tyranny and restrictions on speech from the regime with greater targeting of social media. All this is to say the free speech we enjoy on platforms like X is limited, so we need to make the most of it. Need as many people as possible on these platforms undermining the narrative of multiculturalism and making it more costly for the regime when they do come to shut it down. Problem, reaction, solution, just like our caller from Finland laid out. Let's go now to Jefferson in Virginia. Go ahead, Jefferson. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Harrison. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
You there?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. What's going on in England, not that I really want to talk about England, is INSOC from Orwell's 1984. You will believe what the party tells you to believe.
Right.
And we're suffering from that very same thing here. We are suffering from mind control. Every time you see Kamala Harris on television, you should be thinking to yourself, how is this woman eligible to be president or vice president? She's a Jamaican citizen by birth to a Jamaican citizen father. I know she was born in California, but that doesn't change the fact that under international law, she would be a Jamaican citizen at birth, which makes her not a natural born citizen of the United States. And that's mind control when you can't process something that simple and have it come to the conclusion that something's terribly wrong here. And we're all surrendering to the mind control because we're afraid of critical race theory being abused on us and making us feel like we're racist when nobody said anything about race. It's about nationality. The woman is a Jamaican citizen at birth, and no one can process that information in their head.
Well, so, you know, obviously you were the first to, you know, bring this to our attention. Since then, I've seen some more people talk about it a few weeks ago, but I've seen that sort of taper off. I don't think it's a problem with processing it. It's a problem with not just having it widespread enough. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that she does not qualify to be president, you know, at this point. I mean, it'd be like a, you know, 33-year-old running for president, and I just thinks it's fine. It's like, no, the law says he has to be 35. Like, that's the law. But it's not like we can't understand a young person is not eligible, but they're still right. Like, we understand it. But what do we do about it?
Well, we don't.
I guess.
There
I,
you go.
It almost seems like it's up to the Democrats that they would have to, like, sue the DNC or something, saying she's not qualified. I mean, what's the step to take action here? Because I get it. I just don't know what to do about it other than tell people.
Well, maybe we should have, like, a telethon, marathon fundraising campaign where we talk for 3 or 4 hours and have people call and explain why they don't understand that there's an obvious solution to this. We have to get the Supreme Court to weigh in on the subject. They are evading this issue. They have original jurisdiction on Article 2. That's their lane. That's the very thing. So this supposedly has been litigated. People like Trey Gowdy will tell him that Marco Rubio, he was supporting years ago to be president, was ineligible. And he would always tell them, well, he was born here, and this has already been litigated in the courts. This is Trey Gowdy, who's supposedly on our side, telling us that Marco Rubio was somehow eligible, even though neither of his parents were citizens, and he was born here, much like Kamala. But they all act like this has already been handled by the court system. I keep saying that's part of the mind control. Right. When you have lawfare, that's part of mind control. That's how they make us all think, oh, this has been decided by people that are smarter than us or more educated than us or have expertise in the field. And the Constitution in Article 2 doesn't require any expertise. She has zero naturality. Naturality comes from your parents, not from the soil you're born on. Where you're born gives you nativity somewhere. So right. The solution is we need a groundswell. We need the people to rise up and say that the Supreme Court needs to make a ruling on this and fast. And they could do that. We have, you know, five justices that are pretty much guaranteed to be on our side if we can just make them address the situation. But at the moment, they're going to act like they don't know that Kamala Harris is a Jamaican citizen at birth. Right. They're going to say, where do you get that information? So they're staying on the sidelines because they're going to claim ignorance on this issue. So the more we talk about it, the less they can ignore it.
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, obviously this is a big issue. If they're running somebody that is not eligible for the presidency, I mean, it's got to be something done about that. I mean, again, the crazy thing is that the Democrats are more aggressive in trying to disqualify Trump under the 14th Amendment than Republicans are trying to go after Kamala Harris, who clearly does not meet the qualifications necessary to become president. I mean, it's very simple. And we need Republican politicians and we need lawyers filing these suits. And tell us how you think this is going to happen. Thank you very much for the call, Jefferson. Let's go to Josiah in Kansas now. Josiah, I want to talk about the abortion video that we just saw. Selling body parts. If anybody heard me say this, they'd say I'm evil. Yeah, that's what an evil person says when they're doing evil willfully. Go ahead, Josiah, you're on the air.
Hey there, Harrison. I wanted to talk about kind of a spiritual aspect of how the abortion ties into the immigration. And just a quick bio about me is I've been doing roofing for 13 years. I've been a lifetime martial artist. So I'm pretty tough, pretty desensitized to violence. And when I was drinking my coffee this morning, I watched that video of those witches cackling as they're dissecting babies and ripping them apart. And I just started just crying and just shaking, trembling. I could barely breathe. But it's like, you know, and if you read the Bible, it directly tells you that if you start murdering babies, you're just going to be replaced by people who are not murdering babies, essentially. It doesn't matter political parties at that point. You're violating the laws of the universe. You will be replaced.
Yeah.
And it's good and evil. That's why we have conservatives and the Democrats is such a clear choice because they promote this Satanism. There's no choice. There's only right and wrong.
Right.
We can go into details, but America, if we accept this, we deserve it. We deserve to be taken by the people who are not killing their babies, you know? And it's just, that's all God really cares about in the end is that you're being fruitful and you're obeying the ways, his ways. And
I completely
we've fallen.
I completely agree. And I don't know, this quote I saw today seems to match up almost perfectly with what you're describing from John Stott. Quote, the definition of spiritual growth is going from having a thin skin and a hard heart to having thick skin and a tender heart. And if you can watch a video of women talking about babies being torn apart and not have a genuine horrified reaction, your heart is too hard, I hate to say. So you sound like one of the spiritually mature people. Thick skin, but a hard heart.
Brother, I was trembling. I was, you know, I've been doing martial arts my whole life and roofing in 100% humidity and 100 degrees in Texas.
Right.
Like, with no food, barely any water. Like, no, I'm so decent. I'm tough, tougher than nails. I could do burpees every day. And that literally had me trembling, and I can't barely breathe. Like, just even thinking about it. Like, sorry. It's your reptilian. The bad, they're demonic.
They're not human, that's for sure. No, I feel you, man.
Explain it other than a reptilian or something, dude. It's like crazy, dude.
You know, I felt the same way about the video of the guy being stabbed in the laundromat. I mean, I've seen more gore. I mean, my God, I've been on the internet since I was 11, and it was a Wild West back then. I've seen things that I will never be able to unsee. But sometimes you see videos of just the coldness, the callousness. And I really don't even want to show you the video. It's too gruesome, honestly. But we'll show you like the first few seconds, and then I want to pull it down because I don't want to see the blood. But just, you know, watch the very beginning of this clip number 4. In that you see a guy who's literally just sleeping. He's like sitting at a table with his head on the table. And he's just sleeping, and these two guys just see him, and they're just, you know, they're getting their laundry, I guess. And they just decide, for no reason, apparently this guy was homeless, and he stabs him, and he keeps stabbing him. And then they wander off, and we can cut it there, because it only gets worse. But you can see in the beginning, I mean, you know, it's one thing if you see something gruesome happen during a fight, or there's, you know, an accident happens and something gruesome, but there's something so chilling about guys who, I mean, they look, maybe they're stealing stuff, maybe they're just criminals and they're just like stealing things, but it, I mean, who like goes to a laundromat and is like getting their laundry out of the dryer, seeing somebody sleeping, pulls out a butcher knife and stabs him in the kidney and kills him. But no idea who this guy was. This guy apparently was a homeless guy who would like clean up the laundromat in exchange to be able to hang out there during the day. Just literally sleeping. I mean, you can't claim this guy did anything to deserve this. There's no reason behind it. Like, it's so much more chilling even than, you know, it's kind of understandable when you get really, you know, people are really mad and they do something, you know, wild that they regret. But there's something so just like casual about this that you can just die. And I won't show you the rest of the video, but the guy who gets stabbed stands up and he's slipping on his own blood and it's just pouring out of him. I mean, it's just horrifying to imagine what that guy's going through or what the babies are going through as they're being torn out of their mother. And it's like, yeah, these people aren't human. There's something that we are at war with here that is beyond human. Let's go to Dave in Arizona now. Go ahead, Dave, you're on the air.
Thank you so much, Mr. Harrison. Sure. If you don't mind, I'd like to start today with a quote. There are decades where nothing happens. There are weeks where decades happen. Yep. It's from Lenin, and I'm not a Lenin fan per se, but I think it's a wise quote. I think that's where we've been for years here.
Right.
You mentioned at the top of the broadcast, and Tony summed it up well, but I want to add to it. You know, when is this going to come to the United States? What's currently happening in the UK? And I'll say that it started at least overtly on May 25th of 2020, when we watched people in our own country start burning as part of Operation Chaos. And we know the plantation politics don't work anymore. So our psychopathic overlords are using now the grievance culture. They want to paint everybody in an intersectionality box and say, somebody wronged you. You have the right to burn this down. You can steal sneakers because you don't have enough bread. You know, I watch people in Minneapolis, a young mother who worked at the Target, the first one to burn completely to the ground. And she said, this is the only place I can get to on my bus pass. I work here and I buy my baby's formula. Now I have nowhere to buy my kids the food that they need. Why are these people doing this to us? And I'll offer, the one gentleman said, you know, we need to do lawsuits and hold people accountable. I don't disagree with that. But unfortunately, we're in a post-constitutional era, sir. I mean, we've got people, think about this. You mentioned the Fourth and the Fifth Amendments. We have people that have been locked in broom closets with the lights on for 23 hours a day that have yet to have a pretrial hearing for walking through velvet ropes, taking selfies and leaving after 7 minutes, after 2 minutes, after 20 minutes, and doing no damage in the people's house. Mm. So I'm not sure what the solution is. I think it's Article 4, Section 4. We tell the government peacefully, we no longer consent to be governed by you. You are our servants. We're moving on. I don't know what the structure is, but we need to move on from this because they're not adhering. As I said, we're in a post-constitutional era. I'm not an advocate for violence, but I'm afraid I predicted on Flag Day, June 14th of 2020, that this culture war would morph into a civil war. And I need to correct that. It's actually an inverse revolutionary war because it's the people that serve us, our elected leaders, that are actually at war with us, we the people. And we're fortunately 70% of the population. This country's not split 50-50, in my humble opinion. I know that from going door to door, knocking on doors and holding Trump and flag rallies throughout 2020 after my company shut down because the vicious mandates, the shutdowns. So thank you. I'm sorry I rambled too much there, sir.
No, I'm just thinking about everything that you're saying because you're exactly right. And I remember I made a video right in the middle of the Black Lives Matter riots that were going on every day with that same idea, basically saying we are in a civil war. It's just one side's not fighting. The other side is. And it's the side with the industry, with the banks, with the military industrial complex, with the government, with everybody on their side. They're at war with the American people. The American people have not started to fight back.
Well, that's why I was very conscious. I held rallies through and still do. I'll go to one again today. We do rallies. We don't do protests. We're trying to take back the language from the nihilist Marxists that are trying to overthrow our society through this color revolution. But you're right. And maybe a more apt title assessment is that it's an inverse revolutionary war because it's the people with all the power, the oligarchs, that are pushing down on we the people. And you're right. Unfortunately, we don't stand in our person. We don't stand up for our rights. And it's not just me. I went to a Yuma rally, protect our border. But the problem was we were 5 miles from the border. And I said, what we need to do is we need to stand at the border and throw people back across the invisible line for those that can't or won't defend our republic. I'll take on that duty. But, I need probably 1%, 2%, 3% of the population, like in the Revolutionary War, to do so. And people are just so apathetic or so scared because of what January 6th was, right? I mean, I think that's why people are apprehensive to go out and join a rally and say, this is what we stand for. We don't have to stand against anything. We stand what we stand for. And I think that might be part of the problem with the UK is they're so hell-bent on rallying against Muslims taking over their country, which is not untrue, but just stand for the people, stand for your own families, stand for the fact that your nine-year-old should be able to go to the park and play with their best friend and not be fearful that she's going to get raped by a gang of 14 different Muslim illegal invaders. Yeah. Sorry, I rambled again, sir.
No, but you're exactly right. And it's the diminishment, the destruction of that instinct that is the ultimate goal. That's why, I mean, when we talk about these people aren't human, it's not just an idle thing to say. Like, they are actually systematically and successfully destroying our humanity to where you won't stand up for even your own family, which is like so repulsive. And yet it's like celebrated in certain cases. Just to bring it all back around, when you have sons testifying against their fathers and turning them in because they wandered through the Capitol on January 6th, and that father getting, years in jail, and the son opening up a GoFundMe and getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars as a reward for turning against his own father. It's like there's something so innately horrifying about this, and yet it's being, again, deliberately created, and our humanity is being expertly destroyed in a very efficient way. So you're exactly right about everything you're saying, Dave. Thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Sterling in the Void, in Vold. I don't know. Sterling, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Vold. Weird last name.
All right, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I was thinking that maybe, InfoWars does a really good job at gathering people, but we need to start gathering people more and more, because obviously the world is going into a really desperate place that needs our help, the people that will do something.
Yeah, no, so I agree. So what do you think we can, what do you think we can be doing?
Start broadcasting a message to gather us to central United States and, I don't know, start there. I don't know, man. I'm getting really freaked out about the world. I just learned about you guys about 6 months ago. And
What were you watching
really
before that?
I really don't know. Nothing, just working, living life, reading books, I guess. Not paying attention to the world.
Well, so what woke you up and brought you in for us? Because, I mean, the fact that we're still bringing people in, the fact that you joined, you know, started watching six months ago, I mean, that's huge.
I started watching Alex Jones 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it didn't really compute in my mind of what's going on, and it was reflective of the world. I thought of InfoWars once I seen how bad the world's going and how Alex Jones was right about everything.
Well, that's the thing, look, it's going to get worse. Things are going to get worse and worse. People are not standing up right now in the way that they should be. The people rigging things are doing it extremely successfully. So it's going to get worse. There's still going to be a hard core of people who see what's going on. And I almost think of it like storable food or emergency supplies, where it's like you don't necessarily have to – I mean, you should be going out and you should be participating in politics, going to rallies, going to protests, expressing yourself, going online, sharing this stuff, sharing the information. Like, all of that is massively important. At the same time, you need to be preparing for when it gets physical. You don't want to start it, but once it starts, you don't want to be making up time. Just like it's going to be too late to get your storable food once the collapse comes. Like, you got to have it before you need it. It's the same thing with, physical training, where it's like once it pops off, you need to be ready to go at a moment's notice. You need to have everything. You need to have your go bag. You need to have your guns. You need to have your storable food, and you need to have your physical fitness all geared up and ready to go. Not that you're going to start anything, but once it pops off. And I mean, this is something that, again, we're seeing in the UK riots, where you've got, you know, these physical brawls taking place. And if your entire population is either massively overweight or, you know, soy boys, you're not going to be able to fight. You're not going to be able to fight. But the people who can fight are going to win. So, I mean, if you go to any grocery store after 9 p.m. anywhere in America and go walk around, see if you can find one person that could put up a fight. See if you can find a single individual out of the hundreds in that grocery store that could run a mile or could clean a gun. Like, you're not going to find them. 99% of people, if, you know, war happens, they're just fodder. Sad, and I wish they weren't, but it's up to them and it's up to you to not be fodder.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that turmeric does incredible things for inflammation, your joints, your immune system, your whole body. Well, we came out with Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula 6 years ago, and I was wanting to come out with a turmeric formula, so I talked to some of the big suppliers. I said, what's the strongest curcuminoid you have? And they said it's like 75%. Regular turmeric's just raw, 4 or 5% still has a great effect. I said, well, what's the strongest concentrate you can make? They came back a few months later and they said 95%. This is it. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, been sold out for months. Back in stock is 95% curcuminoid. And it does incredible things for your body. You know, my wife's a big sports person. She's in great shape, plays tennis, lifts weights all day. But she has joint pain. And years ago, she was taking these horse pills of turmeric. She'd take 3 or 4, would give her relief. I said, try this. She looked at the back. She said, this is lower milligrams. I said, yeah. But that's because it's concentrate. She took it. She said one pill had the effect of the big four horse pills she was taking. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing product. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's not just the 95% curcuminoid. It's organic spearmint, sage, lemon balm, and thyme leaves, pepperine from black pepper. So it's an amazing formula. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it could be our last run. They're trying to shut us down. And please don't take that for granted. We get shut down, people go, whoa, he wasn't BSing. On my children, I'm not BSing. We're close to being shut down. We need support right now. Plus, these are great products. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. This is going to sell out. Please support the broadcast. Get in other products. Get T-shirts, books, films. We need support now. These are great products. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your action. InfoWarsStore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal, InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. My guest is Jared Klickstein. He's an independent journalist and the author of Crooked Smile: What It Took to Escape a Decade of Homelessness, Addiction, and Crime. As a young man, Jared developed a heroin addiction, leading to nearly a decade of chronic homelessness. After a tumultuous period on Skid Row and a subsequent jail sentence, Jared achieved sobriety in 2018. He now works to educate people on public policy and the dangers of drug abuse. His website is jaredklickstein.com, x.com/jaredklickstein. Sorry, Klickstein, not Steen. The book, again, is called Crooked Smile: What It Took to Escape a Decade of Homelessness, Addiction, and Crime. It's available on Amazon. Search Crooked Smile. Thank you so much for joining us, Jared.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It was my pleasure. And, you know, this is a topic that we touch on occasionally, but we don't often do real deep dives into it. It's more of just sort of an offhand thing. It's almost just the one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. We say, hey, this is killing 100,000 people a year. It has to stop. But it often doesn't go any deeper than that. So I'm excited to get a little deeper into this crisis, because it is a unique crisis, isn't it? It's a
it's hard to get your head around because in some ways it seems self-inflicted. It's like, well, these people are doing it to themselves. They're injecting themselves with heroin. What am I supposed to do to stop it? And as a libertarian, you know, part of me is to say, hey, look, you know, you're allowed to do whatever you want if this is the choice they make. How should we just frame this topic in the first place? How do you look at heroin addiction? Is it an attack on the American people from, you know, these corporations that are prescribing opioids at an insane rate and getting people hooked on this stuff? Is it an outgrowth? Like, how do you conceive of the crisis that drugs are in this country right now? How do you frame it?
Yeah, listen, I think that it definitely started with the opioid crisis perpetuated by the pharmaceutical industry. And that has sort of morphed into a fentanyl crisis. I mean, fentanyl is a pharmaceutical that was invented by, a company. Mm-hmm. But obviously, fentanyl is produced in Mexico by the aid of Chinese chemists and Chinese chemistry equipment. I think the people in power, it's gotten too out of hand with like far progressive policies in places like California. And the strategy at this point, now this could be conspiratorial, but it's almost like a controlled demolition. Like, this problem will solve itself if we just let the people sort of annihilate themselves.
Right. Right. Because, you know, sort of the only thing that's been done to confront this, but it's not really confronting it, is you have like open air, you know, injection sites in Portland and Washington, all these other places. And even after a couple of years of this, a lot of them get overturned because they realize how it just destroys entire blocks of downtown to allow this to happen. And that's obviously not the right thing to do, but what is? I mean, treatment facilities, prison time. I mean, I really don't know how to tackle this other than like a total spiritual awakening of people. How can you take your personal journey of getting clean and reorienting your life? What did you go through that can be sort of extrapolated out on how to confront this at a societal level?
Well, it is hard because, you know, I lean libertarian on some things, like drug use. I think people should have the right to do drugs, you know, in their own home if they're not affecting anyone else. But the problem with these injection sites and some of the policies that sort of promote people just getting high in public places in front of children is that is affecting the civil liberties of other right. people. I mean, right. And they're also allowed to sort of commit crimes to support their habit, property theft, and even places like, you know, where I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, violent crime has essentially been decriminalized. Right. So my proposed solutions, based on my experience was, now listen, I went to jail and I'm not advocating that we just send everyone to jail. Jail did help me get off heroin. It didn't help me stay off heroin. I went to a long-term nonprofit treatment center. I think we should, first of all, start, recriminalize crime. I mean, I think we should really start reinforcing the laws. And if you are doing fentanyl and acting in an antisocial way or committing crimes to support your fentanyl habit, at some point, I think you should be mandated to a long-term treatment center. And this is a place where you would stay for a long period of time and maybe get trained for some kind of job training, you know, get your skills evaluated, see what you'd be prone to being good at and what the labor market needs, and give these people a launch pad to actually live a life worth living and be self-sufficient. But I like that you said a spiritual awakening. This is definitely a spiritual crisis of sorts. And I think that, you know, there's a spiritual solution, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily Christian or Buddhist or whatever. You know, it's not one specific thing, but we it's sort of like a God consciousness. Mm-hmm. We need something. I mean, we need
purpose and meaning because, you know, obviously the drug crisis is intimately tied into the homelessness crisis. And I know there's a charity here in Austin called Mobile Bread and Fishes, but they give homeless people a little home of their own. And, you know, they say, look, you got to keep it nice. You got to keep it clean. You got to not do drugs. You know, you have to uphold some certain things. But talking to homeless people, they're like, they're so proud of having something that's their own. And it gives them meaning and purpose and something to return to and something to care for. And it's like, it's in a strange way, it's responsibility that these people need. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we need like a graduated system of increased responsibility and increased steps of self-sufficiency, and that is a great way to start. But a key part of the program you just described is that they require sobriety. So in my state, I live in California, Newsom signed a bill called SB 1380, which in 2016, which made it illegal or it ended all state funding to any program that tied sobriety requirements to housing.
Really?
So this is when I credit this bill with sort of getting things kicked off in California making things worse. But no, you're exactly right. I think a program like that would be great. I mean, first we need to, you know, medically detox these people and then give them something to be proud of, show them a path towards something even better that they can help build themselves. I mean, self-esteem is how you get out of this.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me not to make light of the situation, but what comes to my mind is the Mitch Hedberg joke where he says, you know, alcoholism is a disease, but it's the only disease you can get yelled at for having. And I feel like that's how I'm always torn between, like, am I mad at these people? Because it's like, I don't want drugged out weirdos like falling asleep on the sidewalk outside of my house. Like, screw that guy. Or do I feel pity for him and think he's a victim? Like, when you're driving down the street and you see somebody like the videos we just saw that we're showing here, they're leaned over, they're doing that fentanyl sort of zombie lean. I mean, what comes to your head? Are these people victims or are they, you know, perpetrators? And how does that frame your response to the crisis?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was one of these people. I was one of these people in the street, nodding out, and then that sometimes using meth and acting crazy and, you know, making a scene in public places and committing crimes. Are they victims? Sure, they're victims of failed policies. But the problem with combating addiction and homelessness is that, well, at least addiction specifically, is that a victim mentality is like the biggest detriment to ever conquering addiction. So we need to approach this as, you know, you're a victim of failed policy, but that doesn't excuse the continuation of this behavior. We're going to help you cease this behavior. We can't look at them as victims, as we're going to help you continue this behavior because you're a victim. We need to look at it as a all hands on deck to end this behavior.
To help you sort of whether you like it or not sort of thing, I guess is how it needs to go. Yeah. Again, this topic is so sort of nuanced. It's so unlike any other topic that we have to deal with because it is, it's like the people who are the perpetrators are also the victims. And it's hard to know, you know, whether a harsh treatment or whether a soft touch is necessary. I'm excited to continue this conversation on the other side with Jared Klickstein, x.com/JaredKlickstein, JaredKlickstein.com, Crooked Smile, What It Took to Escape a Decade of Homelessness, Addiction, and Crime on Amazon. Just search Crooked Smile. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up. And it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know, we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you. And we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product. And then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup. And I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we're even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkovich has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago when I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, the attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Com and for store.com is where you go to support us. My guest is Jared Klickstein, jaredklickstein.com. His book is called Crooked Smile, What It Took to Escape a Decade of Homelessness, Addiction, and Crime. And just reading through some of these reviews on Amazon, I'm actually excited. I actually want to read this book. To be honest, it doesn't sound like the book I would typically pick up because I deal with so much sort of horror on a daily basis just reading the news. That, you know, maybe I'd avoid a memoir about heroin addiction. But every comment, it seems like the word hysterical is in there, and you know, comedy and humor. So you know, clearly you're able to inject humor into this as you deal with this. And again, I see so many sort of like, you know, similarities between dealing with personal tragedy and dealing with what we're dealing with on a global scale. You know, you say things in the book. You felt like you were dying a slow death, or how you put it. How'd you put it exactly? When you said you were dying a slow death, or dying in slow motion, is the quote from the little blurb here. And so it feels like that's how it feels like what I'm watching day in and day out. America, the world, we're dying in slow motion from our addictions, and there's so many sort of similarities between this. How does your struggle defeating heroin play into your just political worldview, sort of seeing what's going on around the country these days?
Well, it does relate. I mean, yeah, because of the policies where I was homeless and I was sort of allowed to do as thou will, you know, right. I was dying in slow motion for the world to see. In public view, and that is kind of relatable to what we're seeing on a national level, sort of like the slow collapse. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be quick. I hope it doesn't happen in general, but it does seem like if it does, it's going to be a very slow process due to failed policies. So yeah, it is quite relatable, and it has had an effect on my political leanings. And I still would say that I got out of it, which leaves me feeling optimistic. And I believe that you know, people can revert, and a nation can revert, and society can revert.
Right. It's like when you see, it's like, yeah, redemption is possible when you see the transformation of somebody who has gotten clean, or, you know, what they looked like before when they're on the street and they're just like dirty and unhealthy with scabs. And then you see them, you know, 3 years after getting clean, and it's like, it just looks perfect. And it's like, I see, we could do this for America as well. All hope is not lost, and we can regain our footing somehow. We just have to stop doing stupid things. Is it really as simple as we have to stop doing stupid things? Because I remember when they first announced, like, yeah, the way we're going to defeat heroin is by letting people shoot up and giving them needles and letting them do it on the street. It's like, who thought that was going to be a good idea? Clearly it's failed, but how did that ever even get suggested in the first place? Talk to us, if you will, about some of the policies in place supposedly to fight homelessness and fight, drug addiction, which are obviously only going to exacerbate the problem. Like, how do these policies get implemented in the first place? And then, how do we get better policies in place?
Well, needle exchanges started in the 80s, and it was during the HIV epidemic. It was to prevent the spread of HIV. And it was a lot of the people that worked at these needle exchanges were ex-drug addicts themselves. And not only, you know, they'd give you clean needles, but at the same time, they'd encourage you to go to detox and go to treatment and get off heroin. So after, I'd say 2010s, this industry really starts to expand, and there becomes an influx of college graduates in the liberal arts with nowhere to really go. And they've been radicalized by college. I went to UC Santa Cruz, and there they attempted to radicalize me, but fortunately I was on heroin, so I didn't really listen. But a lot of my friends listened, and they became very radicalized. And I would say, socialist, communist, self-proclaimed communists. So a lot of these fields actually got filled with people that have never touched drugs and don't really understand policy or the economy, and really just blame capitalism for all society's woes. So those are the people handing out needles now. So they aren't people that are ex-junkies, and they're not encouraging people to go to treatment or detox. They're basically saying, here's needles, here's this, here's that, keep getting high. There is no solving this because capitalism is causing you to be addicted to fentanyl. The only solution is actually crushing capitalism and society as we know it. So it got really politicized. It didn't used to be politicized. And we're dealing with it with at least where I live. There's billions of dollars on the table from the state. So it's a lot easier to get a contract for a nonprofit that just hands out needles than getting a contract that, say, you go to poor neighborhoods and fix single mother's cars so they can get to work. I mean, that's, right. That would obviously help people tremendously, but that's hard. That actually requires work. You'd have to know how to work on a car. You'd have to, actually canvas neighborhoods and see who needs help. It's a lot easier just to get a $500,000 contract that hands out crack pipes and needles.
Seriously, or buys vodka for homeless people. That was another, big scandal in California. And California has spent billions.
Yeah, we're doing that here.
I mean, tens of billions of dollars, and it only gets worse. And in a sort of perverted form of capitalism, like, the profit incentive in this case is to keep people hooked on drugs. The more homelessness and drugged out people you have, the more you can get from the state. So they're not, incentivized to cure people. Is there a capitalistic is there a way to use capitalism positively here? I would think that there would be, but how do we get off the socialist merry-go-round where you're just continually making the problem worse and then doubling down on your policy that only makes things worse? I mean, how do we get people off of this merry-go-round, and can we use capitalism in a positive way here?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I mean, I'm generally a free market guy, but as we've seen with the private rehab industry, it's pretty corrupt, and they're not incentivized to cure you or help you. They're incentivized to keep you at treatment. Obviously, they make like $4,000 or $5,000 a day off you, so they're incentivized to just keep you there. And the way that they do that is they have hot tubs, and they take you to do yoga, and they take you to the beach, and they basically make it as cushy as possible just to make sure that you don't leave. So this is a battle that I've gone in my head, you know, is there a capitalistic solution to this? I think if rehabs cut out insurance and were just incentivized on the result of their treatment, and they were competing for, you know, who can basically cure people of their addictions the best, I think that, that could be a good solution. But I think we're too far gone. I mean, I don't really trust the state in any form. So, you know, my solution may not, maybe contradictory, but, you know, the state has to step in and reinforce laws and sort of round people up that are committing crimes to support their habit and help them by putting them into long-term treatment. However, I do fear that because, you know, this could lead to a situation where it's like, hey, we don't like what you said on the internet. You got to go to this treatment, quote unquote, treatment center. You know, things could get really nasty. So it's really hard. You know, it's really hard. With a benevolent government, I think that we could see great solutions. But the problem is that governments are rarely benevolent.
Yeah. But I think you're right in that it is just as simple as punishing criminals. Like, that it's really not that difficult, because, you know, what you're pointing out, I hear the same thing happening with when talking about shoplifting. It's like, well, it's the shop's fault because people can't afford what they want. It's like, it's capitalism's fault for making people desperate. And it's just totally nonsensical the way this worldview has been made so pervasive, and how it's just time and time again proven to be totally false. Well, again, I was reading some of these quotes. You know, these ideas are the most practical and realistic way to address these widespread problems I've ever read. Jared's ability not only humanize the often faceless crisis of homelessness, but also bring dark and fantastical humor to the plot was candid and raw. I'm very excited to read this book. It's Crooked Smile, What It Took to Escape a Decade of Homelessness, Addiction, and Crime, available on Amazon. Jared Klickstein is my guest. JaredKlickstein.com. X.com/JaredKlickstein @JaredKlickstein on X. In the final minute here, what would you have as a suggestion for people maybe that are watching this or have family members that were in the situation you were in before? What's the first step to get out of the mire?
Well, the first step, which my family did pretty well, was do not enable your family members. I mean, you can love them. You can offer to help them in any way as long as it's helping them get off drugs. I mean, the only thing that is helpful for a drug addict is to help them get off drugs. And if that means not sending them money, if that means not letting them in your house while they're on drugs, I mean, that's what that means. So
tough love. It's like
tough love is really the best path for this. Unfortunately, I know people that come from good families and they have a ton of money and they're just, you know, they're hitting their 40s and they've just been on and off heroin for 100%. 20 years.
Now, tough love could solve a lot of problems in this country. Yeah. Thanks for being with us, Jared. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much.
You've seen what President Trump has gone through in the last 8 years. And you've seen a lot of the things that InfoWars has gone through. And I want to thank all of you over the years for your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, because without you, we would not be on the air. Now, without getting into a 2-hour-long story, in the process of the bankruptcy the last 2 years, we were basically sabotaged, and the people that were brought in here to supposedly run things didn't reorder product, even though there was plenty of money at the time, to basically put this operation in a position of shutting down. But by the grace of God, years ago, I set up backup supplement line from one of the main providers of the raw materials we were using. And so many of these InfoWars MD products are actually our famous products, simply private labeled, and others are different formulas this company offers. They're all top of the line. They're already best sellers. They're already all over the market and in stores and online under other names, but they are all the very best. So this line is called InfoWars MD. Our supplements are basically all sold out. Only a few things are left, like X2, X3, and some of the other amazing products. But with InfoWars MD, you have Turmeric 95. That is the same formula as Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. You have the nitric boost. It's so good for your heart cardiovascular system. It is the exact same formula. So our nitric boost is sold out. They have their nitric boost. They even let us use their name nitric boost a few years ago. So they're the original makers of this that Dr. Minkovich and others have talked about being one of the best formulas out there. So these are all really amazing products. You want to check out the line of InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com, and it funds our operation. Get great products and help keep us on the air. I need you to take action. You will love these products. They work really, really good. No matter which one you try, they're already top of the line, tested, private label by us, available right now at InfoWarsStore.com under the InfoWars MD label. Thank you for your support.